Hello, everybody. So this is entitled by Dr. Andrew Loney. He's too polite to mispronounce, sorry, to correct him mispronouncing it as Lowney. It's Loney. But I've had a thorough read of it. I remember that the second biggest wedding in the 20th century, the biggest one having been 5 years earlier, when the Prince of Wales wed a fair maid called Lady Diana Spencer. So here he is, Prince Andrew is made of Duke of York that morning with Miss Sarah Ferguson. She became Duchess of York. I believe she's actually never a princess because she said that she had been, has been president. Apparently, that's wrong. I mean, I didn't realize that she didn't take that dignity. She did take the title Duchess because her husband was proclaimed a Duke the morning of his wedding, and that's the normal way in the House of Windsor. So if a man's getting married, he's made a Duke or whatever, an Earl that morning. Which is just by signing a document. It's not kneeling and being dubbed. Only knighthoods are like that. Well, having had a more thorough read of it, the scandals are coming thick and fast. We don't get that many particulars about Gordonson's school, which he attended from 1973 to 78. Now, Gordonson was going mixed when he was there. It wasn't as Randy Andy, but according to it doesn't mention any untoward behaviour towards teenage girls. And of course, perhaps what he did as an adolescent would be more forgivable because he wouldn't know what he was doing, and especially the mores of the time. And then things like the only things I was quite good at was actually the running and the lumping heavy stuff and anything practical fixing things when he's in the Royal Navy. Was he awarded the Green Beret when he shouldn't have been? Hadn't quite completed it, but fairly bad naval officer. And a lot of it was just sloughing off duties he found tedious. But it's always egomania for him. It's me, me, me. He believes the people are there to serve royalty and not the other way around. So he really does have this medieval notion of the realm as being a personal fiefdom ruled by fiat, voluntas rex, lex suprema est, and so forth, which is why he so warms to those Gulf Arab monarchies, absolute monarchies, as though he believes in the divine right of kings. But they're not so keen on adultery, which he's so eager to commit. I mean, adultery is really the least of his sins. But there's a lot of grossly unethical behavior here. And a lot of the others come out well. If you speak to people, and I know people who work for Prince William and Kate Middleton, say they're very honorable, decent employers, they're reasonable, they're understanding, they're flexible, they're always unfailingly courteous. And people like Princess Anne, a fuddy-duddy she calls herself, who gets on with her duty, does the best of her ability. She's unglamorous, she's a bit bland, but she's almost never put a foot wrong. Likewise, Prince Edward, who's honorable. And they don't get much reportage because, royal behaves well. That's never a headline. Royal behaves outrageously. Now that's going to sell newspapers. So he's knew Epstein from 1991, not 1999, lied. And another thing that came out is Buckingham Palace lies a lot that no, Prince Margaret's marriage was not in trouble. Well, it was. No, that Prince Philip never committed adultery. Well, he did. And Prince Margaret, when she got divorced, I mean, partly because her bisexual husband was having affairs with men and women. I'm not sure if she was at that stage, or that Charles and Diana's wedding marriage was not in difficulties. Well, it was by the late 80s. That was blatant. It was so bad they couldn't even bring them to conceal their mutual loathing when they're putting on a brave face in public. That Anna, and so Andrew and Fergie, that their marriage was going very strong when it wasn't, when it was in very bad trouble within about 4 years. And so lie after lie after lie. So why should we believe them? So he's lied about when he knew Epstein and stuff like that, although he didn't perspire and things like that. Okay, so the Epstein stuff is bad, and then it was a colossal mistake to make him a representative for United Kingdom Trade and Investment, UKTI. And as a naval officer, there are 11 officers' ranks. He got to the fifth. If he got anywhere, it might have been to the second. And he was promoted to that fifth highest rank as commander. They created roles specifically for him, as partly because the Royal Navy felt it raised the standing of the senior service to have a royal in it. It would somehow protect them against cuts. Remember, this is the 90s when it was being cut back savagely, and so on. And so he was like mediocre at his duties, promoted far above his abilities. Now, I'm all for monarchy, but the thing is, just because someone happens to be of blue blood, that doesn't automatically mean he's gifted a suitable for sorts of roles. Apparently, the one who's perspicacious is somebody who knows him best, his elder brother Charles, who saw that this was going to be a catastrophe. Prince Andrew, who's known for his graft, his self-centeredness. So he also was about self-service, not public service. His lack of anything ethical concerns, having little or no idea or concern about what's legal and what isn't. He always sought self-enrichment because although he was sort of second line to the throne for a time, he wasn't that rich. I mean, it probably wasn't even the top 1,000 in the United Kingdom. It was only getting £250,000 a year. Well, that's not that bad from the civil list as it then was. But lots of other freebies, and he had to pay some staff out of that. So the people living at Gordon's were much richer than he was. But Loney's book is fair. It goes out of his way to quote people who did have a high opinion of Prince Andrew. He did make the difference sometimes in the Middle East. He did seal some deals. And the end of the Soviet Union, okay, Moscow had some visits from British royalty. Places like Azerbaijan and Kazakhstan, they'd never been visited by a member of the British royal family. And they welcomed that. And, government ministers attend a penny. And the Prince of Luxembourg told me this, going to China. Chinese ministers, they meet foreign civil servants, diplomats, politicians all the time. It's tedious. A prince is different, even from a little fart of a place like Luxembourg. It was all about self-enrichment, and sometimes he aggravated the situation. He mortally offended Sultan Qaboos of Oman by asking for money. He sometimes, all these British business executives would in whatever country would be there to see him, and he decided not to turn up at the last possible minute. He would mortally offend people if he found things tedious. He would spend way too much money. Always say the most expensive option, hiring private jets, never staying at the embassy, staying in a presidential suite, thousands of pounds a night. And he said it cost £500,000 between all he's paid directly and also, transport costs, security costs. It was a bargain. And although he did generate a lot of trade, I mean, anyone could have generated some of that trade. Sometimes he drove it away, or then taking commissions, picture palace, taking a cut for himself when it wasn't about that. That's not on. Abuse of office. Okay. There's a rule against self-dealing. And it was about enriching himself. So he's avaricious. So he's just disgustful in his totally immoral behavior. I mean, even the Epstein stuff, even Virginia Giuffre, or Virginia Roberts as it then was, even if it was consensual when she was 17 and he was 43, most would say that was ethically suboptimal because she's the age of consent, but not by much. And it's not like he's slightly older, like 18 or 19, even 25. He's sort of middle-aged. And you think of the enormous power disparity between them. All right. Goodness. So loads of things. He'd open himself to blackmail. Former Soviet countries, they would film you, record you in hotel rooms, sending him hookers. He picks up the hotel bar, thinks he's just picking up a civilian, as it were. And presumably they got blackmail material. Did they use that compromise? We don't know. He's very keen on Azerbaijan, one of the worst dictatorships in the world. Now, I can't blame him too much for dealing with totalitarian states. His brief was to do as much for trade investment as you can, okay, without concerning yourself about the human rights record of this country. That wasn't his mission. And so stick to the mission. But quite often he didn't stick to the mission, and he's extensively briefed on exactly what to say and goes against that. Like in Bahrain, advising to lease certain ships, I think not purchase them, which is okay. But whose side are you on? That is a better deal for Bahrain, but not for the United Kingdom. Bringing Epstein along at British taxpayers' expense, meant to make money for the UK, not for the United States. America's got its own trade representatives, railing against the anti-corruption people, and also his naivete in saying things which he should just keep stum about, and so forth. And yes, we know that a lot of things only happen if you cross someone's palm with silver in certain countries, but it's still illegal in the United Kingdom if you do, even if you do it abroad. So you should be avoiding controversy, not creating it. It's always making waves and so on. But there were times when apparently he was well informed about certain topics. I've got to give him credit. Occasionally he succeeded, but he should be succeeding almost all the time. This is not one or two mistakes. It's endemic, it's repetitive. So please, by the way, write some comments as we're going. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. He's just vile. And then with Timur Kulibayev, the son-in-law, the president of Kazakhstan, the former president, Nursultan Nazarbayev, when Prince Andrew put his house, Sunning Hill Park, on the market for £12 million. That's apparently £3 million more than its true value. And the guy pays £15 million. So £3 million more than the asking price is any bidder. And £6 million more than it's really worth. £6 million 20 years ago. What's that worth? £12 million now. Wow. Which is a sort of massive bribe and loads of thick things. So he's misusing his position for personal enrichment. Even when that's actually weakening the United Kingdom's position and grossly offensive to people, throwing tantrums, verbally abusing people, swearing at people, and he's the only one that the protection officers, the servants say, just behaved atrociously. And he's dim enough to honestly think that royalty are a superior species, that this is no more than his due. And I know that's a psychological bias, that people are very fortunate, think they deserve it rather than accepting, I'm just lucky and I just actually don't all deserve all this stuff. So it's precisely because he's academically subnormal that he falls into the trap of thinking he deserves all this stuff. And in New York, being stupid enough to introduce himself as the Duke of York, as though most Americans know what that A is. So anyway, he is utterly disgraceful, and he's dragged the House of Windsor's name through the mire. And it takes away from all the good work that other members of the royal family do. So he's just absolutely appalling. He's been stripped of his titles a long time ago. Why? And because he's a royal, he got away with it. That the police had no case to answer, that people wouldn't complain about him, they're afraid of losing their careers, his personal protection officers, various diplomats, the government didn't take firm action. The Labour government under Tony Blair, within a couple of years, they knew this was seriously bad. And Sir Chris Bryant knew that, but he wasn't removed from his position. And actually, it would have been better for the royal family in the long run if he had been. And it took Cameron's government to do that. I mean, admittedly, it's not just because the Conservatives are better. He'd been going on for so long, been so many disasters, so many scandals, plus the association with Epstein, which is beyond imprudent. So it was the poor judgment on his past. So many injudicious utterances and actions and so on, his complete disregard for taxpayers' money, just living it up at our expense. And one of the things he doesn't drink, I think that's one of the lacuna in the book. Why does he never touch alcohol? All the rest do, I mean, not too much. Imagine how bad it'd be if he did get drunk. Goodness. So that is His Royal Highness. And then I think another big mistake was the Queen's backing of him. The Queen loved him, her weakest child, and he got away with so much. When some sort of Epstein scandal broke, the very next day, she made him a knight of a different order of chivalry to signal her support for him. And that reflects great discredit on her when she should have been penalizing, distancing him for the sake of the whole royal family. You've got to cauterize him. Anyway, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then at PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com, and purchase entitled. Okay, toodaloo.